Good morning and welcome to our opening chapel. It's such a privilege to have you in God's house and as we worship together, and we invite you to make this part of your daily schedule. Please take out your hymn book if you would. It's called the Hymnary, Evangelical Lutheran Hymnary. So take that out if you would, the one next to you. First of all, notice how it was sitting in the rack next to you. It should be with the pages up and the spine down. If you could please make sure to return it that way, that preserves the book longer. But turn, if you would, to page 202 and 203 in the front part of the hymn book, page 202 and 203. Find those pages. And you'll see at the top it says historic lectionary. That means the historic readings that early Christians decided, in order to learn what we call the whole counsel of God through the year, they would each Sunday focus on something a little bit different in the entire Christian faith. And we don't follow exactly all of those readings, although we use many of them, but we do follow the sort of the themes that you might find in those readings through the church year. And so you'll see that each week there are certain themes that tend to come out. And you'll start to notice that. And the hymns also match that. The hymn that we're going to use today, turn to that. It's hymn number 42. So the hymns are the big numbers. There are some of you that may not be used to using hymn books. And turn to the bigger hymn number 42, God We Praise You. And typically in your bulletin, the program that you pick up when you come in, typically, it'll tell you not only the hymn that we're singing, but the verses. Now, today we're going to sing all four right away of that hymn, but it'll often show you the verses as well. You'll also see a little asterisk next to where it says hymn or reading on your bulletin, and that's an indication of where we stand. So typically, we stand up when we sing. You sing better when you stand. Ask choir directors. They'll tell you that. You typically sing better when you stand. And you'll often be motioned to stand. One other thing I'll make. It's wonderful to have so many people come to chapel and see their friends and talk and all of that. Don't want to kill that at all. But let's try to keep the talking level, the volume level down, because there are some who come in and use that time to pray and to get ready for our little chapel worship. So just keep that in mind. We have nothing against a little chatter here and there, but keep the volume down is often very helpful. So let us begin then with the singing of our hymn, God We Praise You. Lord's blessings on our worship. God, we praise you.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, the 10th verse, and it is part of what's often referred to as the Good Shepherd chapter. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. They found his body floating in the Mediterranean Sea, 60 miles off of the coast. He was floating face up. He was wearing a very strange wetsuit. When they dragged him up onto the fishing boat and flipped him over, they saw that there were bullet holes in his back, and he had been left for dead. But suddenly he started to move and to wake up, and it was very clear he had no idea where he was. He had amnesia. He didn't know his own name. He didn't know how he had gotten in the water. He didn't know why he was wearing this strange wetsuit, and why in the world had somebody tried to kill him. I just explained to you the opening 5 minutes of a movie called The Bourne Identity. The Bourne Identity, a very intriguing beginning to a movie to get us interested. And that movie came out in 2002. It was one of Matt Damon's earliest movies. And it was built around his quest, this man's quest, to figure out who he was and what his life was really supposed to be all about. And it was a hit at the box office, and is still kind of a cult classic today for a lot of people. And they think that one of the reasons that this movie has resonated so well with people is because it goes to something inside of each one of us. And it's something that we can identify with. What in the world is this life all about? Why am I here? And it mirrors that in a slightly odd way. Think about yourself. Upon your entrance into life, at some point, you begin to try to figure out and unravel this mystery of who you are. But you didn't get to select who your mom and dad would be. You didn't get to select where you'd be born. You didn't get to select where in history you would be born. You didn't get to select the geography of the land in which you would be born. You didn't get to pick your gender, your body size, your ultimate height. You didn't get to pick your natural hair color, the alignment of your teeth, your bone structure. Think of all the things that you had no say in, that you had no decision in, that somehow was just, there you were. It was all part of you. And at some point, probably started to think, well, where did all of this come from? Who am I? And what's this all about? And even as an infant and a little child, you discovered pain. In fact, probably the first thing you did that made noise out of your mouth was cry. You discovered pain and hurt, and you quickly learned that things could touch your body and bother you and harm you. You learned what hunger was. You learned what fear is. You learned even what psychological pain could be like. And you also learned that just because you wanted something a certain way did not mean you were going to necessarily have it or get it that way. In fact, quite often the opposite. And you realize you have no control over that. And some of this life could be fun, and some of it can taste good and feel good and so on. But your body starts to experience illnesses, and your teeth fall out when you're a kid. You have to deal with other little creatures like you that want to mess with things that you have and take things away from you, and people can be selfish toward you and mean. And your parents try, as you're growing up, to teach you a little bit about what this thing is called life, and you start to figure your world out a little bit. You figure out things about your body and learn how to take care of it a little bit. And as you move out of childhood, you begin to realize that you're just as greedy and selfish and sometimes mean as those other creatures around you. You realize that you can easily tell lies too. You can be jealous. You can be disobedient to your parents. And as you started to reach adolescence, there were new sensations that started to happen to your body, and sometimes the thoughts that came along with that weren't always so good, weren't always so pure. And then, death. You find out about death. You find out that creatures like you don't just keep living, they die. Life can stop. I remember when I was 7 years old, there was a 3-year-old boy in our congregation who was shot and killed by a gun, accidentally went off in the home. And I remember as a 7-year-old, someone younger than me could die. We start realizing there are cemeteries and graveyards all around us in our towns and cities. So what is this weird thing that we're in that's called life? And why is it happening this way? Why do we have to deal with pain and suffering and death and problems? And why is it our own consciences are aware of things that we don't do right? It's all because of the presence of evil in the world. Jesus in the text before us describes a thief who has come in, who wants to take away and steal life, wants to steal happiness and joy, wants to steal our relationship with other people. But the very being who made all those decisions about you as to where you'd fall in time, what your body would be like, how tall you'd be, all of those things, the very almighty being that determined all of that also wants to inform you about this life that you live. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to know him. And he wants you to understand his great love for you. And that's actually why he made you, because he wants you to have a loving relationship with him. And so he has chosen to break through the mystery of your life and through his word, through actual human communication, put down in pages, to communicate with you about this thing that you're going through called life. And he starts by telling you, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Now just think of that. If you think of a grandma with her needles, God says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. That's why your fingerprints look completely different than anybody else in the world. He has made you uniquely. And he has determined already the very length of your days in this life. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows things about you that you'll never understand about yourself. He knows things that are going on inside of your body that may bring you an early death someday. He sees precisely how every moment of your life is going to turn out. He knows all of your weaknesses. He knows all of our sins, mine as well. He sees right through us. But he still loves you, still loves us, still cares about us. And he still wants you to know him and have a relationship with him. And he wants to guide you through this amazing thing you're in called your life. And in order to do that, he informs you that he has decided to enter your world in a very special, unique way, through his very own Son, God himself, who took on the form of human flesh in Jesus Christ. And he did that in order to suffer and die for each one of you, to pay for all the guilt that would have kept us out of heaven someday. And that same Son of God has gone through death, the very thing that's waiting for each one of us, but he's gone through death ahead of us and destroyed its power over us. And by faith in him, we have the hope of our own bodily resurrection. Into the pathetic scene of this fallen world, with all the trouble that I just described, and all the pains and things that we experience, and all the fears that we may have out ahead of us, our Lord Jesus says this to you, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That means beyond just the great things you can experience here in this life. And we can experience some really cool stuff and wonderful things and taste some great things. But abundantly, when God uses the word abundantly about how amazing life can be, he's talking about the joy and the bliss of heaven that our Savior has come to win for us. So by faith in him, we have that and possess that. And it is there for each and every one of us. This God who put us into this life wants to have a relationship with you and wants you to know him as a God of love. And he has sent his son to give you this specific purpose of having that abundant life in your future. But not only that, he promises to direct you and guide you through his word as you go through this life, and there will be some tough spots, but he promises he will guide and direct you through his word all the way until you reach that eternal home. This college is dedicated to help you know and to hear that God who has created you, who loves you, who has saved you, and has given you heaven. And this specific sanctuary has been established as a place where, even though you may hear it in classes and in halls and things around the campus, where we very specifically, intentionally come to learn more and more about that, to learn more and more about your life, not just this life, but especially the one that is to come. I invite you to come and hear your Creator, your Redeemer, and Sanctifier address you every day that we have classes. Amen. And let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we begin this new academic year, we ask that your hand of blessing would rest upon all of us. Give us wisdom and ability that we may grow not only in our knowledge of you, but also in the wisdom of this world, that we may lead lives which honor you and benefit our fellow man. Help us to establish friendships with one another, that the love you have shown us in Christ may be found reflected in our relationships. According to your will, keep us safe from all harm and grant us a successful year under your gracious care. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we close with the hymn number 593, a one-verse hymn that has become a very familiar hymn to those of us at Bethany. Our choir often sings this, "On my heart imprint thine image." May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.